we were the better team.
Stinks of I don't care, I'm earning 300k a week.
Dallo for the longest time was the enemy of the state, but Emmanuel Ugarte is doing really
well. He's had a great job to overtake.
Fans are very fickle, and you can very much appease that by just buying Garnacho for 50 million very quickly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast with your co-hosts, me, Cormac, and the other co-host,
Boom, Taylor in the room.
Boom, Taylor in the room. What a weekend of football. It's been a busy weekend of football. We're glad to be back. Well, I'm glad to be back anyway, based on the results alone. In this episode, though, it's just going to be kind of a general cover-off of the last weekend results, main one being the Man United-Arsenal game, obviously, which have high stakes in this podcast. As well as then going and looking at our red and white scoreboard, so our score predictions that we made from last week, which will be our weekly going predictions to see who knows ball by the end of the year. And then finally looking at the week ahead and other transfer news that's been going on. But Taylor, should we just jump straight into the Man United-Arsenal game?
I'd actually love to, Cormac.
Man United 0, Arsenal 1. Now, we watched it together with another Arsenal fan and another United fan and a bunch of other people. I didn't really care. Generally, the response has been fairly positive, though. Considering United did lose, I think your takeaway is
probably positive. Important to caveat that Manchester United did lose.
Which seems to have been forgotten.
Yeah, it does seem to have been forgotten. And yeah. I'm a massive fan of that.
Yeah, but what are your thoughts on the game?
I thought we were the better team, objectively speaking. I thought this was the best worst case scenario in that we lost the game, but we actually played well.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Imagine if we'd have lost 3-0 and played dreadfully. The narrative would have sucked. Whereas at least there was something from that game overall where 5, 6, or 7 players came out of that looking solid, looking fit, looking like they understood what was happening.
The big ones being Mbeumo and Cunha, well, I think probably both, especially Mbeumo, I thought were kind of...
See, I thought especially Cunha.
Interesting. Yeah. So I thought second half, maybe more Mbeumo than Cunha. Mm-hmm. But I think over the 90 minutes, I thought Mbeumo was maybe the best player on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Cunha not far behind.
Yeah.
That must be positive to see.
Yeah, but you know what? That's brilliant to see. And both of them looked really okay in the Manchester United shirt, which we haven't always seen in recent seasons. But we still didn't score, which is the big issue we've been experiencing.
There was never really a clear-cut chance.
No, Brian and Mbeumo had a great header. Which I thought Raya did very well.
Decent
to get down
save.
And save.
Cunha had that shot, which I thought where Raya made the save really low down, which I think that was...
Better save than I kind of first realised watching it. And obviously, that was probably the two biggest chances. Obviously, there'd be other time when Mateus Cunha kind of ran through the whole length of the pitch and the shot just lacked that power and decisiveness. But still liked what I saw.
There you go, positive.
I thought De Ligt had a fantastic game.
De Ligt and Gyökeres, we'll come on to Gyökeres in a bit, but I think that was a really interesting battle to watch.
I thought
your whole back line was very decent.
I thought the Luke Shaw shout at left centre-back was very intriguing because he really hadn't played that much on pre-season. Aiden Heaven obviously had a good game against Arsenal earlier on back end of last season. He played a lot during pre-season as well, so just to see him. I thought Dorgu had a good game.
Yeah, he hit the post.
He had an absolute blinder of a shot, which if that had gone in, I'd have gone as well. Goalkeeper.
Well, that's the big issue. That seems to be the biggest takeaway, I think, in terms of negatives for Man United, right? Mm-hmm. Is what is going on with the goalkeepers? Because Onana got dropped for the game.
Interesting, again.
Which is very spicy. And then this new fella just completely fucks it and leaves to Calafiore getting a his eyes must have lit up and gone, God, I'm getting so many modelling contracts after a goal like this.
You say new fella, but he actually played against Arsenal last year in the FA Cup.
I do not remember.
And he's the guy obviously saved the penalty.
Yes, of course.
If you remember the goal that Arsenal scored, it was essentially a carbon copy of this one where corners come in, someone in Arsenal's kind of like bodying him essentially, and he just gets flappy. I literally said it at the time, his wrist looks like it's made out of paper mache.
And credit to the ball from Rice as well, because it was literally played right on top of him.
We know he does that.
Exactly.
And
Saliba was just bullying him.
But to me then, I don't think it was a foul. I look at that and I don't think that's a foul. And I think it was just poor defending by the keeper. The
keeper's just got to
But at what point, do you think Saliba was going after the ball?
No, of course not.
But essentially, I think it's not a foul, but I don't think what he's doing is correct, if that makes sense.
I know what you mean, but like, if football is a contact sport. Like, as much as it isn't, it is. You know
well,
I mean?
You say that, but then the question on whether you thought it was a penalty for Cunha on Saliba and behind, because I didn't really recognize it at the time.
I didn't either. I saw it when I watched the highlights.
And I'm not, it don't look great.
I'm surprised it wasn't looked at.
I'm surprised it wasn't looked at either. That's for sure.
Because I don't... It's one of those. I think if it's given on the pitch, it's mm-hmm. not overturned. If it's, yeah. You know, it's kind yeah. of one of those. I'm surprised it wasn't looked at all.
It's a bit unbelievable.
It is
really.
A bit unbelievable. Yeah.
But like not picking that up.
Which... Also, again, you know... I don't think that was the key difference, really, was it today? In terms, I think if Man United want to get anything from the game, they yeah. should have been more clinical.
But goalkeeper, huge issue, and actually yeah. another huge issue to me was, despite thinking that Casemiro actually had a good game and Bruno Fernandes had an okay game, seeing Ugarte come on for that stink fest with 10 minutes to go,
really
stunk the place out. Really highlights the two issues that remains with this squad, being that central midfield position. Also concerning not to see Kovmanu get any minutes.
That's
at all.
Really bizarre. I think
about it now. Europa League final, didn't get any minutes. First game Premier League season, didn't get any minutes.
Because if you look back to that FA Cup final against Man City, mm-hmm. if you look back to the Euros of last summer as mm-hmm. well, looking at Kovmanu then, who's come in at the age of 18 and played so much football, mm-hmm. under Ten Hag, and looked so good and confident and, mm-hmm. and the ability to, you know, tackle players, take the ball and carry balls forward mm-hmm. and play correct passes, which is everything Ugarte can't seem to do. Casemiro, again, like you said, I think had a fairly decent game.
There's a couple of good, nice balls that he did.
Exactly. I think he was fine.
He still does look slow.
Exactly. Like, but he could slow. Do with someone like a Manu in midfield.
Yeah.
Like, I think going into the game, we would have said before, wouldn't we, the issues with Man United were the midfield mm-hmm. and the goalkeeper mm-hmm. and nothing's changed.
Yeah, and I think that game really highlighted it, because despite being the better team, if we could actually have a goalkeeper who could dominate his box, it's not even to say that Bayern Dier had a dreadful game. It's just in the moment that counted the most.
Well, I think you can't say he's had a good game because he's fucked it like that.
Yeah,
but he had everything outside of that. Fine. I think he was very again. He wasn't really tested.
No, he wasn't really
so
tested.
He didn't actually
but
have
then,
too much to do.
And also in the midfield, it was very much the battle we discussed before the game.
Yeah,
and I thought Bruno and Casemiro did absolutely fine, but. Yep. If you were to compare that with, if you actually could then say, if we did buy a Baleba and have him partner a Manu, and then you can redeploy Bruno Fernandes somewhere else,
yeah.
does the whole makeup of the team look slightly different? Probably.
You feel more comfortable as well, don't
you? Yeah, you got some kind of level of resistance there in Baleba yeah. instead of, you know what? Dallo for the longest time was the enemy of the state, but Manuel Ugarte is doing really
he's
well.
He's done a great job to overtake
he's
him.
He's doing a good
and
job.
And again, Dallo, I don't think, had a bad game.
But without having a good game, and that's my problem with
that. That's what I mean. I think
to see Ahmad start on the bench, I find that very frustrating.
I think that's, again, kind of in line with the Mainu thing. Uh-huh. Ahmad's arguably a top three player based off last season. You got him, you got Bruno, and then you look at it like, I don't even know, your new signings really aren't.
Yeah, I just wish Amorim kind of had the tactical nous to recognise that it was going to be Martinelli playing on the left-hand side.
Yeah, I mean,
and why do
exactly
you need
a
Dallo? I don't even think Dallo's a particularly great defender. I think Ahmad's probably not far off the capacity of nicking the ball off someone.
Yeah.
I've seen Ahmad nick the ball off more people than I've seen Dallo nick the ball off.
I mean, Martinelli wasn't
season.
Exactly testing him anyway, was he?
Yeah, he wasn't going anywhere quickly or slowly, in fact. So so I think interesting sprouts of success maybe for Manchester United, sprouts of things to hold our hats on.
I'd say, I think as far as losses go, that you've had many or worse. Yeah.
You'd expect, if you play like that against Fulham next week, you'd expect us to win.
I think so. Also, quick mention, Mason Mount as well had a very good game, I thought.
It's frustrating to name all these players who I genuinely think had good games yeah. and not get anything from it. Or not even score a goal, which is quite frustrating, and not get that over line. But
I think that will be an issue of yours, won't it? I think that's when Sesko is going to be a really interesting factor.
Yeah,
is he going to be able to come in?
Yeah, that was a nothing moment for him.
Yeah,
10 minutes.
That's
you know?
What I mean. You can't judge anything off that.
Yeah, and I think now I'm going to ask you the question, thoughts on Arsenal during that game?
So, we looked slow. We looked a bit sluggish. I don't think anyone really had a good game other than Raya. I think the two centre-backs were decent, Gabriel especially. And I think Odegaard was the only attacking player who looked like he wanted to do anything. And that's not an overwhelming kind of review, really. I think the service was really lacking for any of the front three. I think Saka was pretty invisible for most of the game.
Saka was quiet. Yeah.
He didn't really have a lot of opportunities really getting the ball. And when he did get the ball, he didn't felt like he really
did anything. It's crazy because Dorgu, naturally, because of the position he plays,
yeah.
leaves so much space on that
exactly.
side for Saka, and
look,
it just didn't seem
he didn't
like
really get it. Martinelli looked exactly how useless he was at the end of last season, which kind of highlights again, do we need that extra left winger? Was Madueke the correct signing? who came on and played left wing as well, by the way,
and
didn't do anything. But again, I don't think you can really blame anyone
individually. First game of the season coming on as sub is difficult.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when the rest of the team are looking a bit meh.
No one else looks on it.
No, so it was a bit of a weird one, because it's kind of the story of last season as well, with, you know, corner 1-0. You can't be mad, really, because it's a 1-0 win away at Old Trafford, first game of the season, which is a good result. Mm-hmm. But it is it's not concerning, but you are, this weekend's going to be interesting. We're playing Leeds on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Kind of, okay, how do we play then? But obviously a big talking point as well is kind of Victor Gyökeres and how he looked. I think he's getting a hard rep. I do.
I thought it was a lot of pressure.
But it was a lot of pressure, but there was a few moments. I think there was one moment where he did body delete.
He did.
And then proceeded to completely misplace the ball over the top of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another moment where he kind of missed Saka. He kind of played it 5 yards too far back to him. I think he saw he had like a 44% pass success rate. But again, didn't really get the service.
Struggled. No, he struggled when he had the ball.
Exactly. And again, only played 60 minutes.
Yeah.
But when Havertz came on, he looked a lot calmer, actually, and a lot cooler than Gyökeres did.
Never a good look.
No, but again, very different players, very aren't different they? Players. So it's tricky, I think, to kind of really... You can't take any judgments really off that alone. And I think he will be getting most of his goals against the likes of the Leeds that we're going to be playing.
Well, I heard that the reason why Manchester United were never really in for him in the first... I think the interest by Manchester United for Gyökeres when he was at Sporting was extremely overhyped because of the Amarin link. And the reason why they pulled out pretty quickly is because I'd heard somewhere that if you looked at his record, he's very strong against the lower level opposition. And then struggles against elite opposition. Obviously, you got the hat-trick against City, but outside of that, struggled against elite opposition. So you are probably right. I think it was
over half his league goals. Yeah. More than that, sorry. Mm-hmm. It must have been way more. I can't remember that.
So that's why Manchester United kind of quickly removed their interest. So it'll be interesting to see how he kind of gets on. He looks like he probably just needs to be about 10% fitter as well. He doesn't quite look...
I don't think he's played a lot of football this summer.
Maybe it's just because every photo I've ever seen of him is that one where it's like 100% sharpened image of him looking like a WWE wrestler.
He's a big boy, isn't he? I think he's like 6'3", but I think he weighs like 95 kilos. And he's strong. Yeah. He wasn't great in the air particularly as well, to be honest, in the games. I think he lost...
But is that his bag?
Not really, to be honest. It's not what we bought him for. I think we have bought him for all those kind of just give him the ball and at his feet and let him have a shot. And hopefully he can bury those goals. And unfortunately, he just didn't have the service at all. Credit to some of United's defenders for kind of preventing that. But also, I think that is a greater concern is why aren't Arsenal creating the chances for its strikers against what should be. I mean, it's a decent Man United team, I think, but it's in theory a team that finished 15th last year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
probably, 9 out of the 11 players that started that game were there last season.
Exactly. So you got to think, okay, that's a little bit concerning. But that will be one to watch, I think.
Also, Manchester United Arsenal very much exists in his own ecosystem of games, you know.
Yeah, the crowd were well up for it, actually. The atmosphere was rocking. The
atmosphere was good. Beautiful day. But Arsenal a bit inspiring. It would be... Because you guys have just got such a massive team as well. Like, your team's so big.
Yeah, well, we played the back line of Calafiori, Saliba, Gabriel, and Ben White, which
Arteta,
is 6'2", 6'3", average height, which is some big boys, isn't it?
Interesting. I think actually you are at the point where if you keep winning and it's still so uninspiring, I think the way you played against us, there's going to be times when you don't win as a result of how you play, which is not what you want to see because I don't... But I actually think this Premier League is going to be quite exciting because I think lots of teams are always going to drop points. I don't think Liverpool and I don't think Manchester City are going to be in perilous. Chelsea already dropped points.
Yeah, well, I think that's the issue with Arsenal is over the last 3 years, we haven't lost against the traditional big six.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And which is something we were always dog shit at.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gary Neville said this last night. He said, this was something 3-4 years ago, Arsenal weren't ever this team. We would always lose to the big teams. And now we never lose. But it is the Fulhams, the Palaces... Mm-hmm. The Villas, I think we might have even said this last week.
Yeah.
That we can't be. So I'm not worried as much about these games because that's not where the league is won and lost.
It's so robust enough to be able to just do that in one game.
Yeah.
But it's those games against the low blocks where you just got, Everton's a massive team as well. You are going to come up against
Leeds are some big boys.
Leeds got some big boys. You know, it's That's who you got the weekend, yeah, Leeds?
Leeds, yeah.
That'll be interesting. I mean, if you win that, then it kind of dispels a lot of the negativity.
Yeah. I think, I mean, if you win comfortably, still, then you're still, fine. It's that first game of the Emirates. I think we should still really be comfortable against the likes of Leeds. No disrespect to Leeds. They did win last night.
They did win against Everton.
But yeah, just finishing off with the Arsenal game. Great result.
Yeah.
Performance can only get better, really, I think, is the main takeaway as an Arsenal fan.
Bad result, but performance is okay.
It's kind of the most, like, on-the-fence result we probably could have had.
Yeah, 100%.
Arsenal, United, both of them are kind of like, you know, it's kind of, it is
a little bit, you know.
It could be a lot worse.
But overall, good for you guys.
I think so.
It's probably the exact start you lot needed.
Yeah.
We have to win the next game, essentially.
You do. And you're playing Fulham on Sunday, is that right?
Yeah, away at Craven Cottage.
Not an easy game.
Not an easy game.
No such thing as an easy game.
No such thing as an easy game when you got to play Calvin Bassey with his shorts down.
Oh,
his
that's ankles. So funny. You know, he's always, I've seen this other videos of other games.
No, this is like, he does a thing. I just thought he was like waiting for a moment where he could pull him up. No, that's how he plays.
I thought his kit man just fucked up.
Yeah.
He just didn't give him a pair of shorts that fit him.
But apparently he just, just a quick walk when he's, what's it called, playing football, which is insane.
Yeah.
I wish he'd stop that and wear his trousers normally. woke nonsense.
Well, it is woke nonsense.
Yeah.
But going on to some of the other games on the weekend, I think you were touching on the Liverpool game.
Liverpool 4-2. 4-2 to Bournemouth. Well, 4-2 to Liverpool against Bournemouth.
There you go.
Yeah.
Which I think we've all kind of, everyone seems to be under the consensus. There's going to be a lot of these results for Liverpool this year, and they're going to be really fun to watch because they were 2-0 up. Looked very comfortable. Then went 2-2 very quickly. Semedo, two really nice goals.
Yep.
And then Chiesa off the bench, scored 3-2. And then Salah did his thing of being missing all game and scoring in the last minute to save my fantasy team from an absolute stinker this
week.
Here's
me watching the game thinking, I knew I was right calling him a flop. And then he goes and does that. I thought Hugo Ekitike looked awesome.
He does look good. They don't need Isak, do they?
But would you say no to have that?
That's what you can't. Would you want to drop 120 million?
I think if anything, they probably just need another midfielder or a better centre back.
Yeah.
I mean, they've just brought one, an 18-year-old from
Udinese.
I don't know. Some Italian team. Yeah. They spent £30 million on him. 18.
6'5" or something.
Yeah, ginormous. You've seen his trip. Looks like he was a scout.
Oh,
he's
God.
He's got the trip. He's got the trip. And so it'll be interesting to see if he comes in and does anything of relative note anytime soon. But I don't think they do need Isak. I thought Hugo Ekitike looked
more than capable.
More than capable, absolutely. That's kind of goal.
He's kind of like, he's just got that. It seems he's just got that ability to kind of fluke his way through.
I told you, it's like Joshua Zirkzee to Trent.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But yeah, good result for Liverpool. I think the best team this weekend is, That the best looking team anyway is Man City, I think, isn't it?
Yes, but it's against a really, really poor Wolves team.
I don't think Wolves were awful.
No, I don't think Wolves were awful. I don't think this is a good Wolves team.
No, it is true. That is true. Mm-hmm. I think, first game of the season is tough for Wolves.
This is an owner as well who, for years, invested a lot and seemed to now be at the point where they're de-investing and they're happy to sell anyone. And like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see, they keep signing players who haven't really heard of, and Wolves aren't renowned for their amazing scouting either. They're very much in the back pocket of
big Portugal.
A specific Portuguese agent as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like they're bringing in the quality. I look at Sunderland and I think Sunderland's business
has been very good.
I look at Wolves and I'm questioning the business that they've done and whether that could be enough to turn them over the line. So you wouldn't be surprised to kind of see Wolves really struggling this season.
Mm.
So despite that, I will caveat it with the Tijani Reinders looks top.
He looks amazing, doesn't he?
Really annoying. And he also, really annoying because they got him for a bargain.
I know, Was it 35 mil?
Yeah, like 40 mil or something like that. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to see him catapulting like the top five midfielders in the world over the next few years.
Well, everyone was saying how good he was last year, so it really shouldn't be as much of a surprise.
He got MVP midfielder in Serie A.
How woke fucking title was that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I'm now questioning that because I thought that was Scott McTominay.
I think he won MVP of the league.
Yeah, I think he got MVP as in the MVP. Yeah. But Tijani Reinders was MVP midfielder in a Milan team which sucked.
Yeah.
So to do that is pretty epic. Obviously, I think everyone knew he was a good player.
Yeah.
But he played, it's very interesting actually, because he played in the Eredivisie until he was 25. And then Milan signed him, what, 2 years ago, three years ago? And now he's 27, and it's just almost like now he's popping off, and it's like, this bloke's...
Especially, I mean, usually and players like that go for longer as well. Yeah, so he could have another 5-6 years like
this. Yeah, his skill set makes me think, why has he been playing in the Eredivisie until he's 25? Because that's not the type of skill set. It's like, he's like a farm. He's probably been that nimble and that cool with it for a long time.
He looks unbelievable. Haaland got 2 goals.
Also, shout out Haaland, because in the world where everyone's buying new strikers and everyone looks mid, like, he just does score goals, doesn't he? And that's exactly what you want.
He just does score goals. Yeah.
It doesn't even matter if he looks mid, because he'll still score 2 goals.
Yeah.
Whereas I'd love to buy a striker that was just mid and scored loads of goals.
Cavallo was right there.
Yeah, I know. What a waste.
Oh, dear. And Ryan Cherksey obviously scored as well.
That was nice.
Really nice goal. He's going to be a really interesting player to watch as well.
Yeah.
I think. I don't even know how many minutes he's going to play. You never know with Pep, do you?
Foden, what's going to go on with him? Like, he needs to pick it up, because he's really fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, really struggled last year.
Yeah,
but City look good. John Stones is back on a World Cup year, so you know he's playing 40 games this year.
yeah, good news for England.
Great news.
Bad for news for everyone else.
Yeah, I think so.
But he's good, isn't he? Yeah. John Stones is top.
I think so. But look at the relegation teams' results this weekend as well.
Ooh.
Sunderland 3, West Ham 0. Which is horrendous. Hilarious. And then obviously Leeds also beat Everton 1-0 last time. Really interesting. Sunderland 3-0. Stadium of Light was rocking. West Ham look
dreadful. Really dire. I mean, I did predict it. They put them in a relegation zone.
Yeah.
Because I just think, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know who... But they bought that bloke at left back who actually looks all right.
Yeah.
And maybe...
Bowen still looks like Bowen,
but... Oh my God, if they didn't have Bowen.
Fulcrum up top. Mate. Just rough.
They'd be like a mid-table championship side if they didn't have Bowen.
You saw their lineup and I was just like, Jesus Christ.
You know, you just look at a team, you're like, you're not looking in good shape.
No, and Graham Potter, I think, is probably, I don't think it's a crazy prediction saying he's going to be the first to go. Really?
Yeah, probably. I just hate Daniel Farke as a Premier League manager. Yeah, I know they won, fair. But I just don't believe.
Won, that's what I mean. But I think... Yeah. He's already under so much pressure, Graham Potter, isn't he?
Yeah, I just think from the fan base, they don't... It's funny, isn't it, how like the fan bases don't seem to gel with a Potter. Mm. Do you think it's because he is auraless?
It's a little bit of that, and I think they just don't trust him as well because of his time at Chelsea. And like with the Brighton, he kind of came from where he did, and he was kind of almost one of theirs, isn't he?
You look back at West Ham and the decisions, some of the decisions that board have made. They had David Moyes, and they won a European title. And they finished like what, 8th, 9th in the table?
Like that, yeah.
And they were just, they had such a sound team. The setup was absolutely fine. And they were like, no, we want to play better football. And brought Julian Lopetegui in. Stinks.
Rough.
Replaced him with Potter. And I understand the logic behind that decision. But I'm just like, there's also so many reasons in my mind why that doesn't work as well.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But it looks like a sinking ship.
I think so. West Ham are going to be really struggling this year.
This is the team that brought in Callum Wilson.
I know. God, they just haven't got anything going forward other than Bowen. And Bowen is really, I think he was really dragging them along on the weekend from what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be really, really struggling.
Sunderland though.
Sunderland, what a 3-0. And huge. They played was it two or three headers they scored? I think it was at least two headers they scored. Just get balls in the box and some big boys just welling it. That's what these championship teams need to do.
I'm pretty sure that they scored about 40 something goals last year in the championship. Like, they didn't score many goals at all. And obviously, it's crazy because Burnley also conceded like what, 12 goals or 16 goals?
Something stupid.
And then
like
they smashed in 3 at Spurs, which shows just like the gulf in quality between the Premier League and the championship. But yes, Sunderland did.
Just checking who their goalkeeper is. Rolfs, I've never heard of him.
I actually think he's a new signing.
Okay,
I believe he is a new signing.
There,
But it's interesting, West Ham actually have brought Hermansen from Leicester, who actually had a very good campaign, but was also relegated last year.
Yeah, so it says a lot about their kind of level, doesn't it?
We've just got their team up right now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Paqueta as well. It looks like he might be staying, I think, is it?
I heard anglings that he was thinking about leaving, but I don't know. West Ham playing 3 at the back screams relegation to me.
It does. Doesn't look good, does it?
But shout out Sunderland. Second in the table after the
first second in the
46,000 at Stadium Light. That got a big, good stadium.
They are a Premier League team.
They are a Premier League team.
I like them in the Prem.
They are.
I can't wait for the Sunderland and Newcastle this mm-hmm. season, whenever that first fixture is going to yeah. be. I think it's going to be really spicy. I think that's kind of it, really, of all the cool main talking points. Yeah. Obviously, Villa nil, Newcastle nil. Awful game to watch.
God, rubbish game. Was that the first game?
That was the 12th. No, there was Liverpool.
12:30 on the Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the fourth game I watched. I was like, oh, damn it. Brighton won, Fulham won. Kind of, I think most people, well, none of us called that. So we'll come back to that in a minute. And then also on the Sunday, Chelsea drew 0-0 mm-hmm. at Palace. Do we want to talk about that weird disallowed goal?
Yeah, you know, I absolutely do. What's his Law 13? Yeah,
that came out in 2018, 2019,
yeah.
was it?
Yeah, I think in 2019 or 2020.
And all of a sudden they went, actually, no, Eze, you don't have a free kick.
Yeah, I've never seen that rule done in my life. Yeah. And actually,
describe it for those if they haven't seen it.
So essentially, Crystal Palace win a free kick on the edge of the box. Eberechi Eze stands over it, and you've never seen a bloke who looks more ready to score a free kick ever. He's done the weird Ronaldinho licks his mouth kind of thing, but he actually did it in like a cool way, not an amazing man way. And he stood over this free kick, and when I say the angle that they showed it on the television, looks like he's just absolutely blammo padded it in. He's just hit it like a rocket. Anyway, replays show that actually it's just kind of gone through Robert Sanchez like it's a ghost. Mm-hmm. But then, out of nowhere, Crystal Palace in their 1-0 up, no dramas. Referees being sent over to the monitor, and with no kind of explanation at the time on the commentary, not that I could hear anyway, I very much insinuated it's because of Mark Gahey pushing into
Caicedo.
Moises Caicedo, yes, out the way so that he could essentially create that gap. And from that, I was absolutely flabbergasted, essentially, because I was like, I cannot believe that he's just given that, despite essentially not being strong enough to be able to deal with it. And it actually looked like Caicedo was toying back with him. But no, actually, as it transpires, it's this very weird law 13, which, because Gahey was stood within 1 meter of the wall.
Like 1 meter and brackets, mm-hmm. 1 yard, which is a stupid rule as well. They're two different measurements. How are you putting 1 meter and 1 yard down
classic,
in the rulebook?
Classic Premier League.
Doesn't make any sense.
And the reason why it was disallowed is he was just simply too close to the goal, which I think is absurd because I'm sure it happens all the time.
It absolutely does.
And no one ever calls up anyone on it ever. And when I look at it and I'm like, that's a perfectly legitimate goal. Although, yes, granted that he is pushing by the way and creating the space. Like, fair game is fair game in my mind. Looks just like a perfectly absolute fine goal to me. And that's what I hate. That's, you know, when the beautiful game goes not into the beautiful game? That's one of those moments.
It's
where it gets
just
too
so
technical
stupid.
With the laws and everything. Ridiculous. Perfectly valid goal. Fair play to the VAR people for having unique ball knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. As niche as
bro
it possibly
sat there watching it thinking, oh no, activated Law 13. Let's take a look at this. And I'm like, what? So shout out to them guys for getting it right. But I just think that's a naff rule. No place for that.
Ridiculous.
Just like let people crack on. Obviously within reason. But I think in a situation like that.
That's a goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one was complaining. Not a Chelsea player. Yeah. No one.
I'm just happy Chelsea didn't win.
Yeah, it's a shame because that's robbed Palace of a really big 1-0 win.
Yeah, and Palace looked the better team as well. Like Palace were solid. Obviously, Chelsea had their moments. Maybe when they get Alejandro Garnacho in, they might be the best team in the world.
God, who's to say? Another player, bloody hell, Chelsea. And then finally, I just want to give a quick shout out to Chris Wood. Straight back at it. 2 goals in his first game back.
Huge.
Might be top 3 striker in the league.
Yep.
Who's to say?
Who's to say? I can't argue with statistics sometimes,
no,
you know.
Exactly.
Shout out Dan Endoy on his debut.
Yeah,
like,
that's a nice
massive
as well.
Signing, like 40-something million from Bologna.
I know. God.
Crazy.
Forest, man, honestly.
Forest have gone on an absolute transfer whirlwind.
They've gone the other way in terms of improving the public eye.
I just kind of woke up one morning and they bought McAtee. Had bid for Rico Lewis. A signing now, Douglas Luiz,
yeah,
just
exactly.
Like going for anyone like between 30 and 50 million. I'm like, bro, it's because they know they got Europa League.
Yeah, they got the money now,
which is hilarious. But shout out Forrest, battered Brentford. Really annoyed that Brentford got a penalty. Choking
goal.
On it, sells a goal. Had him in my fantasy. I need a water break.
Well, that leads us very nicely onto our next segment. So the red and white scoreboard, which for those who watched last week, every week now me and Taylor are going to pick 5 fixtures and we have to guess the scores. And essentially throughout the season, we're going to be tracking those predictions. You get 1 point for the correct result and 3 points for the correct score. And we have a league table and that's going to be following us every week throughout the season and see who knows ball the most by the end. Now, last week we picked five fixtures to start things off.
We did.
And I'm just going to pull them up really quick and give you guys a recap before we jump into this week. So first game we had was Chelsea versus Palace. I predicted 3-1 to Chelsea. Taylor did 2-3 to Palace. And it was 0-0. So neither of us got anything there.
Huge.
Next one, Villa versus Newcastle. I said 2-1 Villa. Taylor said 3-1. Another 0-0. So it doesn't matter. Spurs Burnley. I predicted 3-0. Taylor predicted 3-1. It wasn't fact. 3-0.
Huge.
So
that's a big result for you.
One for Taylor. Wolves Man City. I said 2-0 City. Shayla said 2-2. It was back for
one of my rogue ones, I'd say.
I think so. And then Man United Arsenal. I said 2-0. Taylor said 2-2. It wasn't fact. 1-1.
Oh, you've done all right there.
So I've had a fine start. I wouldn't say it's great, but that's put me on 5 points and Taylor on uno to start things off.
Oh, thank God it's a long season. It is a long season, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
It is a long season, but because I won that last week, it means I'm going to pick three of the fixtures this weekend and Taylor's going to pick two of them. Mm-hmm. So I will start things off and we'll start with, I think, the Friday night game, which is West Ham and Chelsea. I'm going to go for a 1-0 Chelsea on this one.
Oh, I've got to start playing serious. I'm going to go 3-1 Chelsea.
3-1 Chelsea. Okay, yeah.
As much as I hate to admit it, I can't play this game properly, can I?
It's a bit of... You got to go bold as well.
No, there'll be some moments where I naturally will have to go bold.
I think so.
It's in my DNA.
Yeah. What game do you want to pick next, Taylor?
Got the fixtures up, Big Mac. Hit me with the Saturdays. I'm going to go for... Manchester City, Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, I like that. What you got for me there?
I'm going to go 3-2 Tottenham.
Okay, I like that.
That's my plan. That's back in the room.
So just as you were going, I'm going to go serious on that one.
Yeah.
So you could go on 3-2 Tottenham because bear in mind, it is at Man City as well.
Yeah, but Tottenham love being City.
They do actually, that's a good point, but yeah. I still think City are very good. I'm going to go 2-1 to City.
This is where the marginal gains are made, for Cormac specifically.
God damn it. Right. My next game, I'm going to be a little bit different here. I'm scrolling down the BBC app, folks.
Next, I was thinking about doing this.
And I'm looking at West Brom versus Portsmouth at 3 o'clock at West Brom.
Huge.
And for those who don't know, I did grow up in Portsmouth. Not born, but did definitely be bred. I'm going to go for a 1-0 Pompey win.
Huge.
Which is going to be...
I heard that Pompey have got this really young Australian bloke who started the season off quite hot.
He has got two goals. I can't remember his bloody name now, but he has got two goals.
But on the other hand, West Bromwich Albion have just signed Toby Collier on loan from Manchester United.
Yeah.
So
West Brom look good, actually. Yeah.
And West Brom look all right. So on that note, I'm going to have to go for a 2-1 West Brom.
I think that's probably a fair assessment.
Yeah.
All right, do you have another game for me, Taylor?
Hit me with the Sunday games. Oh, and then I'm going to go for...
That's a scream out, surely. I'm looking at Qatar versus Lebanon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What I am going to go for is... Oh, I'm going to go for Palace Forest, the Europa League Conference League derby.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right, what have you got?
I'm going to go for... Oh, this really could be anyone
this
here.
This is going to be really interesting. I actually think it might be quite a good game.
Yeah, I reckon I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1, like that. I'm going to back our boys, which is Crystal Palace.
Yeah, that's so fair. I can't believe I haven't backed them.
I'm going to go 2-1, I think, which again is a bit of a... I'll go for 2-1-0-1. It's boring, isn't it? But I don't care. I'm rocking with that.
You know what? It's certified official now that Palace are the second team of the pod. They have to be.
I was
watching Palace on Sunday against Chelsea, as if they were my team. Like their team, man.
Yeah. And then finally, I will finish it off with that Monday night game, which is Newcastle versus...
the Alexander Isak derby.
Where is he going to be at that time? I think probably still at Newcastle. Yeah, probably
not. Actually, no, because he sold his home. I don't know where he's going to be.
I'm going to go... I think that's going to be a real spicy one. I'm going to say... You know what I'm doing? I'm going to say 3-0.
Oh, that's insane. I'm going to go for 2-1 Newcastle.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I like that. That's awful dropping points. It's a tough place to go.
Yeah. I think Newcastle could do it and it will be hilarious.
Because it's 2-1, did you, sorry?
Yeah, because Isak will still join Liverpool. So they'll beat him, but then at what cost? Because they'll still lose their best player to them.
Yeah, respect. Just a quick one. I've already forgotten what we both said for West Ham and Chelsea.
I said 3-1 to Chelsea.
You did say 3-1 to Chelsea. And I think did I say 2-0? I can't remember what I said, but I'm changing my mind. I'm saying 2-0.
Huge.
Yeah. No, so That will be interesting. We'll come back to that next week and see what that does to the league table.
Huge.
And the Real
need
scoreboard.
A big week. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's there's some difficult games there. I really can see how that goes.
You know what's great? The football's back.
Football's so back.
I'm so glad we can do this.
Oh, no. God, about down time. But going into that, going into this next week, big news, I guess, we're looking at this. That does look like Garnacho is kind of officially going to Chelsea.
I don't think
now.
He's going yet.
I think he turned down Bayern Munich.
Bro is so badly advised it hurts, because the problem is what is going to happen, what I think is going to happen is that one or two things. Chelsea believe that Garnacho is worth 30 million and I believe they're pulling that number out of their backside. I think he's in the market value, maybe in a different time and a different moment, yes, maybe, but if you look at what other players have gone for and what he pulled last year, he's 50 million and I don't think Chelsea will want to pay that. Manchester United's board want Chelsea to pay what they charge other teams for their players.
Yeah.
So if Garnacho was a Chelsea player and Manchester United wanted to sign him, how much would Chelsea quote Manchester United? Probably around 70 to 80 million. But they recognise that he's a distressed asset and that he needs to be sold. So 50 million to me, and I believe also to Manchester United, is that magic number. And Chelsea will refuse to pay.
They won't pay that.
So I think he'll very much go down to the last days of the transfer window. And I do truly believe Manchester United need to make a point here. And they can make a point because he's on very low money. He's on probably about 50k a week.
Interesting.
So if Chelsea don't pay the money, Manchester United aren't really losing anything by him not playing. Also, it's a World Cup year. He's just been left out of the squad from the Argentinian squad.
Yeah.
So he hasn't made it. And he will desperately know that if he wants even a slither of a chance of making that World Cup squad next year, he's going to have to play consistently and good. And if he stays in Manchester United, there's no way he's going to play again. So he'll just sit and maybe play for the under-21s.
Does he play consistently at Chelsea, though? Consistently at Chelsea, though?
No, but that's where he'll move to.
Yeah.
And I also kind of thought that, you know, if Chelsea, for whatever reason, don't get the result against West Ham, fans are very fickle and you can very much appease that by just buying Garnacho for 50 million very quickly. But I do believe that one or two things, and this goes down right until the end, which again, shockingly advised, because if Bayern Munich come knocking,
why wouldn't you want to go to Bayern Munich
over Chelsea?
He obviously loves the UK.
I think I think he likes the idea of moving to London.
Yeah.
I think he likes the idea of being in the Premier League. It's those three, and obviously, I think he looks at that Chelsea squad and probably thinks he has a good chance of getting in over Gittins and whatnot.
Neto on the left.
Yeah, I think Neto's established himself now, but I think he's being really badly advised. And if I was him, he's agreed personal terms with Chelsea, which is obviously probably not too difficult because he's not earning much anyway. I'd be saying to Chelsea, please just pay the money so I can get... Remember, he hasn't played now since May.
Yep.
No football. Hasn't been training with the team.
No.
He'll be in the worst physical shape
he'll
of his professional professional year. And bro, he looked rusty when he's playing every week. So he just kind of needs to lock in and say to Chelsea, look, if you want me, you're going to have to come pay the 50 million, which sadly I probably am worth.
Yeah.
Not lowball Manchester United and annoy us by bidding 30 mil. I think it's a bit of a rip-off, especially if you're considering they charged us 60 mil for a final year, Mason Mount. If you think the fact that they get 50-something million from Madueke and that's what they're charging, then Garnacho is worth 50 million. And we know they have that money.
Yeah, I think he probably is 50 million, isn't he? If you look at Garnacho, if you look at Madueke.
I think this is the only opportunity because, for example, Anthony's on a lot more money. You can't really let him rot away in the reserves. And the value that we paid for him on a transfer fee, which is not good business. Whereas Garnacho, sadly for him, is the only player from a Manchester United perspective and be like, look, this is our opportunity to dictate player power, attack it, because he just thinks he can get away with it. Chelsea think they're going to can get away with it. And Manchester United should be like, no, actually, we don't want you to get away with it. We want to hold out for the fee that we believe he's worth.
Yep.
He's got 3 years left on his contract. He doesn't need to go anywhere. It's a World Cup year. Mm-hmm. If he wants to get in it, pay the money. So it'll be interesting. But on a slightly other note, and I'll wrap this on really quickly, freedom fighter Jadon Sancho has rejected the opportunity.
I think that is sorry, I've cut you off there. Rejected the opportunity to sign to Roma.
A £20 million bid was lodged by Roma. Insane. Can believe that.
Yep.
To sign Jadon Sancho, and he has rejected the opportunity pending further proposals that he wants to see.
Absolutely stinks.
Stinks.
Stinks of, I don't care, I'm earning 300k a week. I'm going to get a tattoo of my girlfriend's middle name behind my ear,
yeah,
which he has done. and just sit on my money.
Bro thinks he's a rapper.
Great opportunity to go to the squad. I can't remember the manager's name off the top of my head.
Gasparini.
But he's known for like revitalizing players and the opportunity to play under him in an exciting Roma team.
In Italy, in Rome.
In Rome, which is one of the coolest cities in the world. And just, again, probably lose, I don't know, 200 grand a week, which sounds crazy, but then you realize he's on 300 grand a week. So 100k a week isn't exactly going to be, he's not going to starve, is he?
No.
I really don't understand that at all. And I really don't know what he is thinking in terms of what his options are. And maybe what else is, maybe there is something else going on. I don't know.
I've heard that if, no matter what proposal comes his way, if it's not matching the salary he's currently on at Manchester United, he will wait until next season when his contract has expired. Which I think is, look, I'm a Manchester United fan, so I'm obviously biased to a degree.
Yeah.
But it backs up my earlier point that he's the worst signing in Manchester United's history. And also, it really goes to show his professional capacity and that I don't think he's got much of it.
Listen, we don't know what's going on. Maybe there is more going on personally.
But there was a perfectly good opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
And if he wanted to stay in the UK, he could have joined Chelsea for less money.
Yeah.
So it's not like there hasn't been opportunities for him to do other things. Mm-hmm. What's probably most likely going to happen here is he moves to Turkey, which...
Can they pay his wages, though?
Yeah.
Turkey have that kind of money?
Yeah, they do have that kind of money.
Go to Saudi, man, honestly. He'd crush it in Saudi.
I don't think he would. I think he sucks. I don't think he's very good. Moving on from Manchester United, I think Eze
to Spurs looks like it's going to happen. Which obviously was a strange one, as kind of the links throughout the summer have predominantly been to Arsenal. And it looks like 55 mil plus 5 million in add-on fees.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's going to be the fee for Eze going to Spurs. Izak, by the way, have a look at how to handle yourself when it comes to moving from a club that loves you. I think Eze's, you know, playing every week. He's still training. He'll leave a legend. Mm-hmm. And he'll always be a bit of a hero back in Crystal Palace. But, I mean, great signing for Spurs.
It's kind of actually a bit of a scary signing.
It is a bit, because I think it was obviously with Maddison being out for however long with his ACL, he's exactly what they need in that kind of creative spot. He's going to give them 15 goals and assists each season. He is a better player than Maddison. Yeah,
he looked awesome. Against Chelsea, he looked awesome. Yeah,
he comes in, I think, the thing about the difference between him coming to Arsenal to coming to Spurs is he goes into that Spurs team as arguably, probably, I'd say their best player.
100%.
I don't think
their best player at the minute is Romero. That's what I mean. He is objectively a better player than Romero.
I don't think Romero is their best player, is he?
I think
Who's Spurs' best player otherwise?
Van
de Ven, Kulusevski,
Kudus. I'd probably still just take Romero because I think availability.
Yeah, he'd sign the new contract.
Captain.
Yeah, availability when he's not bloody suspended.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a bit of a weird one from an Arsenal point of view because all the reports you've kind of seen now on the Arsenal transfers is it looks like if we're going to get anyone else in, there has to be outgoings first.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much. There's been Trossard links to Porto. Oh, no, sorry. I can't remember where else it was now.
Is it Turkey?
I think it was Turkey. There's been Kivior links to Porto. They put a bid in earlier in the window.
Are you looking for like 40 million for him now?
Yeah.
So you're telling me that Jacob Kivior's worth 40 million? Why is someone telling me the guy that show is worth 30 million?
No, played well towards the end of last season.
I'm just angry.
Very reliable fifth choice defender, however many defenders we have these days. And I think if we do want to get one more player in, it does have to be a left winger, kind of an out and out left winger. Whereas Eze is more of a kind of attacking midfielder operating in that left hand side of the attacking midfield, which wouldn't be the perfect fit for Arsenal now that we've had Wanyere stay. This is all David Ornstein's news, by the way. I'm just reading exactly.
Shout out, David. Said. Don't know if you listen, mate. Are good.
Come on the pod.
David Bomber.
Yeah, David. But it's a shame we're not challenging, I feel like. It almost does feel like Spurs are going to have got one on it over us a little bit.
Yeah, like again, it is
not,
true.
It's not like, we haven't got Eze. That's going to ruin our season. But it's also like Spurs have gone and got Eze when we kind of initially have shown our hand that we do want him and we were interested in him. And he's accepted going to Spurs when he's an Arsenal fan, Arsenal Academy.
It does scream Arsenal all over, doesn't it? I think
it does. It does. We will be getting booed at the end.
I think you guys will be really frustrated if you don't bring anyone else in.
I completely agree. I think we still there's one player that we need.
Yeah.
And that is
that player has to be it has to be someone who's extremely exciting, gets bums off seats type vibes.
Rodrigo.
You don't want
get it done.
Exactly. You don't want this narrative.
I know you're there. I know you're listening. Please. That would be sensational.
Imagine.
That would be season defining.
But then it makes me think, why would you go spend 55 million on Madueke? You could just put the money towards a Rodrigo bit.
Well, that's exactly why I don't think we are getting.
No, I'm not saying because you spend the money on Madueke. Well,
yeah.
But I just, you need to, the club needs to stop the narrative that you're a terrible team.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have got an inch of excitement left in you because you have got exciting players. But I think they're even falling into the trap now. So you need to bring someone in who actually is electric.
Is Jokeres not that guy?
No. Bro, he looked like he was playing in Timberlands.
Yeah, he did.
And I've seen one of those players for Manchester United before in the form of Romelu Lukaku. Yeah, and when I tell you I've never hated a bloke more than Romelu...
Jadon Sancho. I was going to catch you
But
there.
You get my point.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I think Arsenal do need that extra, that one more signing, really, just
need
to kind of...
Gribbly boy who's got output.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think Rodrigo might be that... Well, he obviously is that guy, but obviously... Links to City as well.
Alternative targets, I don't know.
Savinho looks like he might be on his way to Spurs, for example, from City. And I think Savinho would be a good addition to that Arsenal team.
Yeah.
I don't know if City would be interested in selling someone like him.
Is he
Arsenal.
A left winger or a right winger?
In my head, he's left, but I might
yeah,
be wrong.
Yeah, I actually think
you are. Is he a right winger who plays on the left?
I think he played a lot for City on the right, but has played better on the left, is what I've got. In my mind.
See, I think he's always been...
I think he's played predominantly on the right, but I think when he has played for City on the left, he's looked better.
Okay.
Is my...
I'm about to tell you. Keep talking. Keep all the time. He's played predominantly on the right, but he has also played on the left as well. Mm-hmm. Over the last...
So we're going to run with that opinion. So he is better on the left. Yeah. And he could also, you know, he's very young, 20, 21 years old.
21 years old.
Rubbish numbers last season, but...
Yep, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Got a goal and assist in the Club World Cup.
That's pretty rubbish. Yeah, but again, that's if we're going from Rodrigo down to Savinho.
I wouldn't be paying 50 million for Savinho. That's probably what
What about a bloke who got 10 goals, 10 assists last season and would probably only cost about £50 million?
Is he Argentinian by any chance?
Depends who you ask. He probably has a Spanish passport.
I can't imagine a less Arteta signing if I saw one than bloody Garnacho.
I'd love to see Garnacho go to Arsenal. I think he'd be so much better at Arsenal than he would be at Chelsea. And honestly, you guys would love him because he does get bums off seat and you need that. You need a bloke who's going to get the ball and run.
Garnacho 2 years ago. We'll take Mainoo off you though if he's going.
Bro, no, come on.
He's not playing. And he was going to want a World Cup spot, isn't he? He's going to be fine for the World Cup spot, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. That's actually interesting. I mean, he won't go anywhere, but it's maybe in January.
Have to wait and see.
Scary times.
Yeah, right. Looking to the games this weekend then.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Man United are playing Fulham, which is going to be an interesting one. But the big one is that Monday night game, really.
I got a rogue prediction in Fulham.
Go on.
Xerxes scoring.
He didn't even play a minute though, did he, against Arsenal?
Nah, but he's been injured.
Okay.
He's had an injury all over pre-season. He's going to remontada it. Last year, opening game of the season, Xerxes on for his debut, scored the goal in the 89th minute. We're running it back, ladies and gentlemen. Like Xerxes always kicking off his 10-goal tennis this season against Fulham.
I hope so. I hope he does, man. I'm expecting big things. Anything else, Taylor, that you want to talk about this week?
Predictions to your Arsenal game?
Apparently, I reckon 3-0 Arsenal.
Give me an interesting take for it.
Jokeres hat-trick.
That's dreadful.
Madueke hat-trick assist.
Oh, mate. You know what?
Fez. Watch it happen.
If it does.
No, I think Jokeres will get a goal. I think Havertz will get a goal off the bench. And I think Gabriel gets a goal from a corner.
Huge.
Yeah. What about you? United predictions against Fulham? Give us that.
1-0.
Xerxes. That's it. Easy, easy.
Stick the place out.
Beautiful. Right. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening again this week. All the time codes for everything will be in the description below, which I would have put on the screen earlier days. Please like, please subscribe, please share. That all really helps us watch all the shorts. Follow us on Twitter. All that boring
stuff.
Follow
us everywhere.
Follow us everywhere. It would be really nice. Well, we're going for 500 subscribers by the end of the season.
Make it happen.
Make it happen, folks. Make two young men's little boys' dreams come true. In a non-pervy way. That would be really appreciated. Football is officially back. Thank God. I know I'm looking forward to European football now as well. I'm sure Taylor is as well.
Mate, really?
Been a pleasure. Thank you very much for listening.
See you next time.